Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time? Doesn't matter what the scenario. Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretched.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thursday. Oh, thank you, Jimmy. I didn't even get to introduce Jimmy, and he already wished me Happy New Year. Jimmy's back. He's the only character from the normal cast of characters in today. Josh Appel, Steven Gonzalez, Jimmy in for Hot Crowder and Solana. They'll all be back tomorrow, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Lot to get to today. Want to know how everybody's New Year's was? We got the first initial Pro Bowl rosters given out today, or released, I should say. Not a single Dolphin in the initial Pro Bowl roster. Great couple of playoff games yesterday. Well, one playoff game was good. The other one, bit of a shocking result. Oregon and Ohio State. Not that Ohio State won, but just in the manner in which it happened. And then Boise State, Penn State the night before was very good. Sugar Bowl is going to be happening during our show today. Kicks off at 4 o'clock, obviously. Terrible tragedy yesterday in New Orleans, postponing that Sugar Bowl until today. I would imagine the vibes are going to be a little more somber, obviously, than they normally would have been, goes without saying. But that's going to be happening during our show today. 4 o'clock kick. I've got Notre Dame to win and the under 45.5. And Jeremiah Love to have 13.5 receiving yards. I don't have a problem, though.
Are you going to go 3-0 on picks in the last couple weeks?
I mean, I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
We'll call these two separate picks. We're not going to parlay these.
No. These are three separate picks. This is not a parlay. Under 45.5, Notre Dame to win. I'm fading Gunnar Stockton, and I like Jeremiah Love. 13.5 receiving yards. So that's at 4 o'clock today. Panthers play first of a back-to-back tonight. Carolina tonight. Pittsburgh tomorrow. And then we'll be joined today by everybody's favorite Celtics broadcaster. I can see Jimmy cringing already. Drew Carter, NBC Sports Boston. He's the television voice of the Celtics. He's also a play-by-play broadcaster and studio host for ESPN, good friend of mine. If you watched the Bengals-Cowboys-Simpsons alternate broadcast, Drew was on the call of that with Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky. He also did the NBA Christmas Day from Disney, that animated broadcast. We'll talk to him a little bit about that, but I'm sure we'll get some trolling from Drew at 2:25. That's coming up this hour. Now we've got Bob Wischusen, voice of the New York Jets on radio, also a college football and NHL voice on television on ESPN. And we'll talk Dolphins, Jets with Bob. We'll talk some Panthers hockey. And he, of course, called the Fiesta Bowl. And we'll get his thoughts on the college football playoff as well. What did everybody do for New Year's? Because, you know, normally it coincides with travel for me for work. So like last year, I spent New Year's alone in a hotel room in Detroit, which was just as depressing as it sounds. And a lot of my New Year's over the last handful of years have been, New Year's Eve, I should say, have been in a hotel. This year, we decided, my wife and I, we're not going to do anything fancy. We're not going out anywhere. We're north of 30. I've turned 30. My wife's about to turn 30. And we just wanted to keep it low key. We're not about the life of going out till 2 in the morning anymore. It's not for us. So what did we do? We invited a few of our friends over. Everybody was out of the house at 12:15. We ordered a full array of food from Flanagan's. And we played some Uno. And we watched the ball drop, had some champagne, and everybody was out the door.
You said 12:15?
Oh, yeah.
We were asleep. 15 minutes after the ball drops?
Yeah.
Everyone was gone?
Yeah, we saw the ball drop. We had a little bit of champagne. And then, what else are we watching? Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen were already wasted by that point. We saw what we needed to see from them. And it was time for everybody to go home. We're all old. This New Year's. It's for the birds. And so we had a great time with our Flanagan's, rib rolls, a chicken Philly, ribs, wings. And it was a phenomenal time. And this is going to be the New Year's plan going forward forever. And honestly, you should all, everybody listening, you guys, Steven, Jimmy, take it from me. This is the way to go. Nobody needs to. I'd so much rather spend $140 on Flanagan's than whatever hundreds of dollars it would be to combine between the Uber, going to a bar or bar hopping and paying for drinks and waiting for drinks and being around people. I like quiet. I like spending it with my dog. And we had a great time.
I'm with you there with the Flanagan's, man. I'm still caught up on the 12:15, though. I mean, that
What's wrong with 12?
You're cutting it close.
Nah, not really. I mean, look, again.
It was like a mass exodus? Just everyone left at 12:15, same time, said bye and left?
Well, you know, look, everybody got to the house at like 7. We were eating by 8.
Tired of the company.
Played some Uno. It was a joy. A delight playing Uno. And then, look, we're all north of 30.
That sounds like the most wholesome experience on New Year's Eve out of anyone. I don't even think Jimmy was playing Uno on New Year's Eve.
I was not.
Listen, I'm telling you, it was a delight. If you haven't played Uno with a couple of drinks in you, it gets intense. It really does.
Draw four.
I haven't played Uno in a long time. Like the actual physical card game. They have a version of it on like the Apple app games, right? And so that's the most recent version of Uno that I've played. So I got caught off guard a couple of times. And we used these like special face Uno cards. And I thought that I could match, because you could either you play the color or you play the number. So I thought you could match the character on the Uno card. Learned that the hard way. And then before I could say Uno for my last card, somebody else shouted Uno, so I had to. I forgot about that rule.
The number one rule, the name of the game.
Yeah, did not know the rules.
So, I mean, like people come up with rules all the time. Are you really playing Uno if you're not making up the rules halfway through?
Listen, I respect the game. I was not the one running the game, so I was just along for the ride, and I played horribly, didn't win. But like, look, what after New Year's? Why does anybody need to be paying attention to any New Year's festivity after the ball drops, right? I mean, Times Square clears out like 45 minutes after that. Does it not?
Yeah, isn't that the craziest thing? People line up like a day before to
ridiculous
to watch the ball drop, and then as soon as it drops, it's just like, all right, let's get on out of here. We saw what we needed to see.
I watch it on TV like a normal person. And it was raining.
Yeah.
You missed out on Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper.
And you also missed a damn good football game, too. Should have been closer in score, but yeah, they missed a pretty good game.
Somebody texts in, Josh Appel couldn't get to the Miami New Year's Eve hotspots, live at Fountain Blue or 11 to party with the A-list and VIPs, according to sources. Sir, let me tell you, or ma'am, I don't want to be anywhere near those places, whether it's New Year's or any other day. Keep me as far away from those places as possible. Not for me. I don't know if you just heard what I said. We played Uno and ate Flanagan's, and we were asleep by 1 a.m. on New Year's Eve. I'm not stepping within 100 feet of those two wonderful establishments that I'm sure held fantastic New Year's Eve parties on whatever day it was, Tuesday. Yeah, that's when we were on the air. Did you guys do fireworks or anything like that?
Yeah, I just enjoyed other people's fireworks, but nah. Mm. The act of lighting them up and running, nah, I missed out on that this year.
Jimmy?
Yeah, like people were lighting up those illegal fireworks.
You didn't partake, though.
I did not partake. No,
based
no,
off
no.
that statement, I would doubt that he did.
Jimmy, you were asleep by 12:30?
No, I was still awake.
Played some NCAA. Threw a couple picks.
I probably did that when I got home because I wasn't home.
Well, I mean, Jimmy was at 11. He was in the VIP section at 11.
Yeah.
He took your spot. He said he was Josh Appel when he went to the VIP.
Exactly. Before we get to headlines, I found this nauseating to read. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that Pro Bowl rosters were announced today, the initial ones. Obviously, there'll be opt-outs and Pro Bowl alternates and whatnot. But a season ago, the Dolphins had 6 Pro Bowlers. Not that the Pro Bowl is end-all, be-all. Obviously, we know what that event has become. You may pay more attention to all pros and things like that. But the Pro Bowl is still a big deal. A lot of guys still value it. A lot of people still have it in their contracts as incentives where they get bonuses if they are named the Pro Bowl. But the Dolphins had 6 last year. They have 0 Pro Bowlers on the initial release of rosters. And listen to the other teams that also did not have a Pro Bowler. Okay? The New York Jets, the New Orleans Saints, and the Tennessee Titans. Those are 3 teams who are going to be picking right around the top 5 of the draft this upcoming year. The Dolphins still have a shot at the postseason. And they have a top 5 defense, according to the statistics, and 0 Pro Bowlers. Now, here's where it gets even more frustrating. We've talked all year about certain guys the Dolphins have let go that could have been re-signed. Andrew Van Ginkel made his first Pro Bowl, the initial announcement. He made his first career Pro Bowl with the Minnesota Vikings. So congratulations to Andrew Van Ginkel. That non-move, when we talk about Chris Greer and his situation and whether or not he should be brought back, that's one of the glaring ones. And Andrew Van Ginkel made it to the Pro Bowl. Laremy Tunsil, Micah Fitzpatrick, the other 2 former Dolphins who were voted in. Zach Sealer, probably the biggest snub. I don't know how that guy is not a Pro Bowler.
I mean, he might get
some all-pro votes as well. One of the best interior defensive linemen in the league. 8.5 sacks this year, career high tackles for loss. I don't know what we're doing there. Jonnu Smith set a Dolphins franchise record for receiving yards by a tight end and receptions. He's had a phenomenal season. And then Jason Sanders probably deserving as well. But, you know, we talk about the Pro Bowl being devalued and people not caring as much anymore. And
it's kind of like the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Say it again?
It's kind of like the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Oh, no. Nothing like the Pop-Tarts Bowl because people care about the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yeah, apparently.
I think when we talk about what this event means and whether or not the accolade actually holds the same weight as like an all-pro or something of that nature, another massive snub that we saw this year, and maybe it's because of the injuries that he dealt with this year, but Puka Nacua, not named to the Pro Bowl this season. Now, remember, again, he had some injuries. He's played in 11 games this year, right? 11 games. He's going to finish with north of 80 receptions and close to 1,000 yards in 12 games. And that dude is not named to the initial Pro Bowl roster. Pretty wild, if you ask me. But we'll get to that later on the show. Drew Carter coming up at 2:25. Bob Wischusen coming up at 3:25. Let's get to our headlines now in the 2 o'clock hour with Steven Gonzalez.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. 3 of the 4 college football playoff quarterfinal bowl games in the books. Texas over Arizona State in the Peach Bowl, double overtime, 39-31, final score. Ohio State got the commanding win over Oregon in the Rose Bowl, 41-21. And Penn State also victorious against Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, 31-14. Penn State awaits the winner of today's Sugar Bowl between Notre Dame and Georgia, rescheduled from yesterday after the horrific terrorist act in New Orleans on New Year's Day. Sugar Bowl will kick off today during our program, 4 p.m., from the Caesars Superdome. The Dolphins, they head to New York. They'll take on the Jets on Sunday at 4:25, with playoff hopes still alive in Week 18 after last week's win in Cleveland against the Browns. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel spoke with the media yesterday, said that the team will be approaching this week in practice as if backup quarterback Tyler Snoop Huntley will be the starting quarterback against the Jets on Sunday. He also added, the team will be prepared to adjust back to Tua should he be cleared to play on time. Seems unlikely, though. Dolphins, they can also use some help from the Chiefs if they take down the Broncos. The Dolphins will make the playoffs with a win versus the Jets and a Broncos loss.
Let's go MVP Wentz, huh?
Yeah, that's what we need.
Carson Wentz.
That's what we need. The Miami Heat, they got the victory last night at home against the New Orleans Pelicans, 119-108, and are officially undefeated in 2025. Tyler Hero, once again leading the charge with 32 points, and Bam Adebayo came up one rebound short of tying LeBron James for second all-time in triple-doubles in Heat history.
Well, ask Drew Carter. You bring up LeBron. LeBron says he wants to play for another 5 to 7 years. We'll get Drew Carter's thoughts on that and other things going around in the NBA.
Yeah, he might play with Bryce James at this rate.
Didn't he just give it to Arizona
yesterday? Yeah, he did yesterday. The Heat, they play tonight against the Indiana Pacers on the second night of a home back-to-back from the Kaseya Center. Tip off tonight, 7:30 p.m. Catch all the action starting with preheat at 6:15 right here on 560 WQAM. And the Florida Panthers, they face off with the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at home, 7 p.m. from the Amerant Bank Arena. Panthers coming off a 5-3 victory versus the New York Rangers on Monday, looking to make it 2 in a row tonight. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. 77 degrees, feels like 81 degrees, 6-mile-an-hour northeast winds, and zero chance of rain.
All right, those are our 2 o'clock headlines. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Drew Carter, voice of the Boston Celtics on NBCSN Boston. Also with ESPN as well. Drew joins us next on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hey, Hawk, how was the Civil War?
Hawk and Crowder.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Jimmy and Steven are here with us as well. Joining us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441. Between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Drew Carter, voice of the Boston Celtics, NBC Sports Boston, also a host and play-by-play broadcaster for ESPN. Drew, Happy New Year. Thanks for taking the time.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm curious, Josh, when will Hawk and Crowder be back? Do they get, you know, a full week? Do they get the whole month of January off? Because, you know, I wouldn't want them to work too hard. So I'm glad that you're actually showing up for work, unlike the other guys. But when will they be back? Is it next week?
So they were here on Monday, and they'll be here tomorrow. So they left Tuesday, Thursday to me, Wednesday to a best of. And here we are, time of our lives.
The old best of, a holiday tradition, unlike any other.
I mean, listen, I love a best of, and I'm glad that it seems that you've got your walking shoes, your jogging shoes on, because it sounds like you're already ready for this evening troll we're about to go on in this segment. But I want to start with this. On Tuesday, when I filled in, I had to defend myself vigorously over just an issue that is now dividing the country. I decided last weekend to fly from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa and back on Silver Airways instead of driving. And Hawk and one of our local sportscasters, Mike Cuno, spent an hour ripping me for this decision. And now, before I ask you your thoughts on my method of travel, I will concede that the airline I chose, incorrect. Silver Airways, lesson learned. But just in general, I don't feel like it's that outlandish of a decision by me to fly instead of drive to Tampa. Where do you fall on this very important topic?
All right. We're going to need some. Number one, how long would the drive have taken you?
The drive is like 3.5-4 hours.
And the flight was what, like 20 minutes?
The flight is 45 minutes to an hour in the air.
Okay, so, you know, number one, I would say I think you already won this debate because you're alive and you live to tell the tale, which sounds like the number one concern when it comes to an airline called Silver Airlines.
It propeller engines, more to me.
It sounds more like Bronze Airlines or maybe off the podium entirely airlines to me, just based on, you know, several of the factors here. The fact that, you know, they fly from Miami to Tampa is the number one red flag for me. Also, I love that you admit that you're from Miami and you said that you had to fly from Miami to Tampa, not from, you know, ritzy Fort Lauderdale or Boca or anywhere around there. You are a Miami native. We all know that. And so good on you for finally embracing it. But I would say when it comes to a 45-minute flight versus a 3.5-hour drive, I'm probably going to drive because you got to deal with the airport and you got to get there, what, an hour, hour and a half early. Silver Airlines, as we discussed, is a total wild card with your bags and also your personal safety. I probably would have driven that one, Josh, but I'm not going to spend an hour railing against you for making that decision.
You didn't really stake out a position here because you told me that I won the argument and then you took the other side of the argument. So I don't really know what's going on with you right now. And I hope that's not a sign of things.
It's not even really an argument. I mean, I guess this is the stuff that you have to talk about for an hour when all of your teams are so bad. So you have to spend your precious airwave time talking about whether Josh should have driven or flown. I understand why you guys have to do that, but it's really not a debate.
I agree. It's not a debate and I was correct in it. All right, let's shift to some serious topics because I know that that's what you're here for. what has been your reaction to the Jimmy Butler saga over the last few weeks? Shams reports he'd prefer to be traded, hasn't formally requested a trade. Pat Riley says the Heat won't trade him. What's your guess as to how this plays out before the trade deadline?
I think the most likely scenario is they trade him after the season. I think he'll probably opt in to $50+ million at this point of his career in his mid-30s as a guy who misses a lot of time and is about to be traded for the fourth time. Jimmy Butler is an enigma, I think, where he is a winner. He has proven that. He has results. They've made a couple of finals, one of them fraudulent because it was in the bubble, but he's made it to the finals twice, and he has taken really pathetic franchises to those heights. I mean, think about what he did here in Minnesota. We're here for the Celtics Timberwolves tonight. What he did here in Minnesota helped them make the playoffs for the first time in, you know, almost two decades. And then, of course, taking the Miami Heat to the finals. I mean, come on. The guy should have a statue just for doing that. So I think he has proven and backed up a lot of the stuff that he talks about. With that being said, he wears out his welcome pretty quickly. Seems like everywhere he goes. I mean, he got traded from Chicago, and that was a long time ago. Now, that was almost a decade ago. He's in Minnesota. We know how that ended. You know, he taped his warm-up shirt so he wouldn't wear Minnesota across his chest and then beat the starters with the backups and made sure everybody knew about it. Ran out of practice, did an interview with Rachel Nichols. I mean, the whole thing was, I thought, handled very unprofessionally. But in Jimmy's defense, I mean,
that team was pretty good with him and hapless without him. That's when Wiggins and Towns were young and hadn't learned how to win yet. He was the guy who did it, and he's been passed up a couple different times in Minnesota and Philly. You know, the Wolves, they chose to pay Andrew Wiggins over him. The Sixers, we know what happened there. They chose to pay Tobias Harris instead of keeping Jimmy Butler around. And then, you know, you're surrounded by guys who at that point of their career had not proven they could win, like the young guys in Minnesota and then Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. So I think it's a very nuanced legacy for Jimmy Butler. But to me, it seems like he's done the same thing in Miami that he's done at every previous stop, which is he's worn out his welcome. And now he's actually run into somebody in Pat Riley who's not going to put up with the BS. I think Pat Riley came out and made that statement, which is really, like, it's almost unprecedented. I mean, that really never happened.
Very rare.
In professional sports.
Very rare for someone that.
For him or really anyone, Josh, like, to come out and say, make a statement about rumors. But I think he did that because he wanted to shut everybody up, but I don't really take it at face value. I think if they get a great offer before the deadline, they'll move on him, because it seems pretty clear to me, and I'm guessing that within that building they think the same thing. This has kind of run its course. And you look at the Eastern Conference, you have obviously the juggernaut reigning champion Boston Celtics, who last year hoisted their 18th banner, which is an NBA record. You have the Knicks, who have won 9 in a row, and they're right on the heels of the reigning champion Celtics. You have the Cavs, who never lose anymore. Orlando is good and will be even better when they get their guys back. I just think that you can't really look at this situation and say Miami's got a chance to rip off another playoff run, especially when Jimmy Butler's not playing. I mean, who even knows? I think he came back last night, right? But he had 9 points, and he's just not really – he's not reliable, at least in the regular season. So I think this has run its course. If they get a great offer, then they'll do it. If somebody makes Pat Riley an offer he can't refuse, the Godfather will have to say, yes, here's Jimmy Butler.
Real original with your Godfather reference there. I will say, though, while I agree that it seems like he's kind of worn out his welcome down here, the exit is definitely a lot more tame, or the path of the exit seems a lot more tame than previous stops, especially, you know, you brought up Minnesota. This is more like, I prefer to be traded, but I'm not, like, forcing my way out just yet. It feels like he's doing that almost out of respect to the organization. And this is about as quote-unquote clean of a breakup as he'll have compared to his other stops. Now, I will say this. You mentioned you scoff at the Heat, you do all this, and you do all that. This man, Tyler Hero, he's averaging 24, 5, and 5 to 31 games. He's a lock for the All-Star game, right? I mean, look, he's got a true shooting percentage that's better than your beloved Jason Tatum.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. This Tyler Hero, All-Star lock, no?
Now, let me ask you this. Can you guys hang a banner for Tyler Hero's true shooting percentage? Is that something
they'll
do?
No, but I can hang three other championship banners that are already up in the arena.
Can they hang up a banner for Tyler Hero making an All-Star game at FTX, or, oh, I'm sorry, at Kaseya Center? Can they hang that up in Miami? Can they do that? Yeah, he's going to make the All-Star game, Josh. His stats are great. He's finally become the player that we were promised for the last 3 years in Miami.
Devin Booker.
I still don't think that if he's your lead perimeter player, you're going anywhere in the playoffs. He's too small and plays no defense. So, yeah, you can have fun with your regular season. You can have your regular season numbers. That's really fun. That's cute. I don't think it'll get you anywhere in the playoffs. And by the way, just going back to what you said about Jimmy Butler, yeah, it's probably the tamest way he's forced his way out of a team, but that's like being the skinniest kid at fat camp. I mean, the comparison's there. Like, Jimmy Butler, he could have a 9 out of 10 nasty exit from a team, and it still would rank last, because he's basically gone out in a blaze of fire everywhere he's been.
Besides the Heat, who do you see as the biggest threat in the East to knocking off the Celtics? Is it Cleveland, who's obviously gone off to a phenomenal start? Milwaukee, especially when Chris Middleton comes back, you know they're going to be a factor. Is it the Knicks? Is it the Magic? Who do you see as that team that poses the biggest threat in the East to Boston?
Either the Knicks or the Cavs right now. Cleveland's been incredible. I think their only issue is their size on the perimeter, where, you know, I think it'd be tough for them to match up with the Celtics in a 7-game series. Now, that being said, I mean, they beat the Celtics in Cleveland earlier this year. Celtics beat them in Boston. I think that'd be a great series if they do play again. They played in the second round last season. Cleveland got one, you know, at the Garden, much like the Heat did. And then it was, you know, sort of like a gentleman's sweep where it was a five-gamer, a lot like the first-round series where the Celtics dispatched Miami. But in round two...
Yeah,
what's that, Josh?
I was just yelling over you. Continue.
Okay. But no, Cleveland's clearly better this year. I think they're shooting more threes. They're cutting. I think J.B. Bickerstaff's a good coach, and he's done a great job in Detroit this year. But Kenny Atkinson has kind of unlocked that team with how they play offense. And Donovan Mitchell should be in the MVP conversation. It's a great story, and in the playoffs, I would still take the Celtics, obviously. You know how much of a homer I am, but Cleveland, like, they're legit. They're super legit, and the Knicks are too. The thing with them is, you know, I mentioned the perimeter size for Cleveland. If New York can get Mitchell Robinson back, then they're going to be seriously dangerous. They've won 9 games in a row. The schedule's a little light, but, you know, 9 wins is 9 wins. Karl-Anthony Towns has been a beautiful fit with the Knicks. He's having the best season of his career. They're really good. And if you look at them on the perimeter with Mikal Bridges now, who's also playing fantastic after a slow start, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart has back-to-back triple-doubles. Like, they're pretty scary on the perimeter. And then you've got Brunson up top and Towns down low. I mean, on paper at least, you know, he shoots a lot of threes and he's shooting them really well. So I would actually say the Knicks right now, but both of those teams are legit. Like, it's not going to be as easy for the Celtics in the playoffs as it was last year. I think it's really stupid when people try to discredit a title based on injuries to opponents. That happens every year.
I also think it's really stupid when people try and discount making it to an NBA final because everybody else is playing in the same setting during the pandemic in Orlando, and then when people discount it, it's kind of stupid because everybody else had the same chance. What else?
So what I was saying is I think it's dumb to discount, you know, a title based on opponent injuries. I think the Celtics would have won regardless last year, but it wouldn't have been, you know, 5 games against Miami. It would have been 5 against Miami. We know that. But 5 against Cleveland and then a sweep against Indy and then, you know, 5 games in the NBA Finals. I think they would have dropped a couple more along the way. And I kind of expect that to happen this year.
I didn't have this question planned out, but we were obviously talking about the Knicks. You mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns and what a fit he's been with them. Obviously, there had to have been something going on in that room in Minnesota to cause them to blow it up and trade Cat for Julius Randle, because I'm looking at what those two teams look like now. Timberwolves, I mean, they're solid, but they've taken a step back. The Knicks have taken another step forward because of Cat. If you're the Knicks, that's got to be one of the most no-brainer moves that could have just fallen into their laps. No, it's worked out phenomenally well.
Yeah, but I don't think it was a no-brainer, Josh. I mean, if look at what the Knicks did last year, and so much of their identity is like chemistry and camaraderie, as cheesy as it sounds. But like, the Villanova thing is a real thing for them, and to trade DiVincenzo, I think, was tough. Maybe even tougher than parting with Julius Randle. Julius Randle was a guy, I think people forget, he was 8th in MVP voting. He was most improved player a few years ago. So he's had a lot of success in his career, but it is tough to fit him into an already existing system. I think that's what you're seeing in Minnesota. Where he and Anthony Edwards, right now, it's just a little clunky. Both of those guys hold the ball a lot. They both dribble a lot. And it hasn't really clicked offensively. Their defense has improved a lot. That's what made them really good last year. They were the best defense in the NBA. You look at them in October and November, they're like around the top 10 in defense. December, they were 2nd behind Oklahoma City. So they're figuring it out defensively. Next step will be figuring it out offensively. But I actually think the Wolves-Knicks trade is a lot more about money than people realized. The Wolves are going to be super capped out, and with the new CBA and the second apron, which I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on, but I do know that, you know, getting rid of Karl-Anthony Towns is going to give them a little more flexibility down the road here, and I think that's kind of – that was the main impetus behind the trade, because if you look at it, Josh, it doesn't make sense for the Wolves to make really any changes, let alone a massive change after what they did last season. Because, you know, they had a legit chance to make the NBA Finals, and this is a franchise that hadn't sniffed it in 20 years. So I think it was really money related, but, you know, almost halfway through the season, there's no question the Knicks have won that trade. Now, I will say this for the Wolves, when they made that trade for Rudy Gobert, they looked like, you know, the clown show of the NBA, because they gave up a ton for him. He came in. Rudy Gobert, people like to joke about him anyway, but it did not work at the start. It seemed like it was going to be a disaster. And then you fast forward a year, and they're in the conference finals, and they're fighting for a 1 seed. So I think Chris Finch is a great coach. I think Tim Connolly, who runs their basketball ops, is really good at what he does. He won a championship with Denver. So I tend to believe they're going to figure it out, but right now the fit just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
We all pretend to be experts in a lot of things, so I don't know why it stopped you from doing
just
it.
Just say apron. As long as you say apron, people are going to be like, oh, this guy knows CBA. This guy's a genius.
It's all about the lingo. LeBron came out and said that he thinks he can still play in another 5 to 7 more seasons. What do you do with that?
Ignore it, which I know you can't in Miami because you guys refuse to admit it, but you miss LeBron. Oh, you love LeBron. Come back, LeBron. I'll play for you, Josh, because you won't. Come back, LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Do we love the guy that brought us to the finals 4 consecutive years and twice won a championship? Yes. Ugh. How horrible.
Hello? Are you there? Can you hear me, Josh? Sorry. I think the cell service down in South Florida is not great because you cut out there for a second. What'd you say about LeBron?
I can't tell if you're trolling or not.
Oh, no.
Are you still there?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. This is
perfect. I know that Hawk is going to love this because he's listening. He always listens when he's not doing the radio show.
Think Hawk listens to the radio when he's not here?
Josh, why else does he send you an angry text about bringing on, what does he call me, Boston Drew?
Boston Drew or Drarder. Drarder.
Why does he always send you an angry text about me coming on if he's not listening?
Well, it's not him. I mean, you should see. I'll send it to you when we get off the air. You should see what the text line looks like right now.
Yeah. Light
it up. Is. There is so much profanity on here. I would read it to you on the air, but it is rough on the text line right now.
Read a little bit of it. Just censor it. I want to hear some of it.
Well, the first sentence of this text is, this Boston guy on the show sucks. Another one. Why is this D-bag on the show?
I've been called worse, folks. Keep it coming.
Last one here for you. Maybe two more. I don't know. We'll see if we have time. What do you make of the conversation around the NBA's television ratings? I was reading earlier. This is something that the league is actually starting to pay attention to more, as they should. Do you think this whole conversation is overblown? Do you think the league should be taking it as seriously as they seem to now look like they're beginning to? Where do you stand on all of this?
I think yes and yes. Again, it's like a lot like the Jimmy Butler thing. I think it's pretty nuanced. And the NBA, to me, I still love the NBA. It's my job. I watch these games, you know, every night, and I think it's an incredible product and has never been better. I actually don't think it's debatable to say that the skill level in the league right now is higher than it's ever been in terms of the top level talent and the depth across the board. These guys are really good. So that's number one. Number two, with that being said, like, I do think the game is, and Brian Windhorst, who, you know, used to spend a lot of time in Miami when your boy LeBron was there.
And why is that?
I think he put it well when he said the league's out of balance right now. There's a bit of an imbalance with teams shooting so many threes. I mean, you look at the Celtics, their 3-point rate, which is just the percentage of shots they take that are from outside the arc, is about 56%, which would be an NBA record by a mile. The previous record is about 52% by the James Harden Rockets, and those are the only teams, they did it 3 years in a row, to shoot more threes than twos. And the Celtics are doing it this year, and there are a couple other teams that are around 50%. There are a lot of threes being taken, and the numbers are crazy. And I think a lot of people don't enjoy watching that. Now, what I would say to a fan who says too many threes I'm not going to watch is, number one, a lot of these teams are generating threes off of really good action. I think it's fun basketball to watch. Like, you talk about the Spurs in 2014. Sorry to bring it up, Miami, but that team played beautiful basketball. They all moved it. They had legendary players and an amazing coach, and they all bought into the system, and it was really fun to watch. Not everybody is the 2014 Spurs, but I think a lot of teams are playing more like them now than the league did 10 years ago when it was a little more stagnant. Don't even get me started on 20 years ago. We've replaced mid-range jumpers with threes, which increases spacing and increases scores, and I think it's fun to watch. Now, there are certain teams and certain players that take a lot of bad threes, and then that leads to a lot of misses, and that's not fun to watch. If anyone thinks that they're going to, you know, get rid of the corner three, that to me, that's a non-starter. I think it would kill spacing, and it's not going to happen. Maybe move the line back a couple of feet, but I think it's going to be something a little more simple than that if they make any change at all. But this stuff is cyclical, Josh. Like, people catastrophize the NBA like once every 10 years. There's always a problem. Like 20 years ago, nobody was scoring. 10 years ago, the player empowerment era was beginning, and it's like guys are never on the same team. So how can I, you know, be a fan, because they're all moving around? It's like the same thing that's happening in college right now. And now it's that there are too many threes. I think this stuff tends to fix itself. If the NBA is going to make a small change, that wouldn't surprise me, but I would be surprised if they move the line back or put in like an artificial cap on how many threes a team can shoot or got rid of the corner three. I don't think any of that's going to happen. To me, it seems like it's going to fix itself. Also, something I'll say on this, because obviously I have a lot of thoughts on it. When people say NBA ratings are down, they're talking about national TV games, and it's not looking at like League Pass, and it's definitely not accounting for illegal streams. I think you have to factor that in. A lot of people watch games, and the interest in the league on social media has never been higher. I think the NBA has this signed. I think this stuff will kind of figure itself out.
Well, Drew, nobody heard the last like three sentences you said because your phone was cutting it out. Must be something in the Boston air right now. You tried to blame it on us, but it's not our fault. You've seen Drew Carter on ESPN as a character in Toy Story, Big City Greens, The Simpsons. He's done a broadcast with Mickey and Minnie. He's also the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. And like I said, he's all over ESPN as well. He's my good friend, Drew Carter. He is your least favorite guest that I have on the show. When I'm filling in. But Drew, appreciate your time as always. Thank you. Happy New Year, and have a wonderful show tonight.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Make sure you send me those screenshots of the text line. And also, anyone out there, just tweet at me if you want Josh's personal cell phone number. I'll be happy to send that to you, and you can text him directly.
Somebody texted and you're a bleeping jackass. All right. That's Drew Carter, NBC Sports Boston and ESPN. Back with more Hockman and Crowder after this.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You smell that? You feel it?
What's that?
Hialeah.
Hawk and Crowder.